What is that connection, David? And of course, what has baffled me for so many years, the structures on this planet, the pyramid, the Sphinx, if you tie in the face of Cydonia, there are some remarkable similarities to what very well could be on the planet Mars.
But it's the enigma, I think, that many people have. One of the things you could do, just to see how strange this all is to go to a search engine on the computer and actually type in the word Cydonia, and three things will come up. One of the first things will be the quince, and the reason for that is because its botanical name is Pyrus Cydonia. The actual name Pyrus is the root for a pyramid, and Cydonia, of course, is the name that's on Mars, this place where the architectural structures seem to be intact on a planet that they don't really have any business being, according to our paradigm now. Also, there's a city on Crete that's called Cydonia, and then, of course, the Mars monuments come up. But what's strange about that is because they're all connected. And in fact, what Steve was talking about is that transfer of knowledge that came down before the flood. What's interesting about that in all the ancient records is that that body of knowledge is said to have been intact, and it's said to have been given to mankind from heavenly beings, consistently connected with what's commonly known as megalithic monuments, like you were saying, and they were erected in times before the last global cataclysm.
Okay, now let's see what the significance of, as Stephen was pointing out, the quince tree, which is right on your cover, by the way. It appears to have an interesting looking fruit, which when you take it in small quantities, they used to use it as a medicinal stomach medicine, did they not?
Well, that's right. If you cut it at its equator, you'll actually see a pentagon inside of it. In fact, that is what the Gnostic key is to that fruit. The reason it's so important is because of its geometry. And if you look at what's on Mars right now, in Cydonia Mars, and you look at what's inside of a Cydonia fruit, you'll see virtually the same pattern.
Now, do you believe that it was not an apple that Eve plucked, but maybe the fruit of a quince tree?
Well, during the Renaissance, when there seemed to be a great explosion of knowledge in Europe, the painters would consistently render the fruit in the Garden of Eden in the same way. It was always a fairly oblong yellow fruit. It wasn't an apple. It looked sort of like halfway between a pear and an apple. And if you read some of the texts written from there, Albert Magnus, Thomas Aquinas, they would also talk about it being a quince. It's the number five that is the salient part to this equation.
Okay, and explain that. Explain what you mean by the correlation here with this number five and the design of what this looks like when you cut it right in the middle, and then some of the things that we're seeing on the planet Mars.
Well, Pythagoras knew that this symbol, the five-pointed star, was the most sacred in Egypt. He spent some time with the priests of faith in Egypt learning from them. And when he finally did move back to Samos, where he was setting up his school, he used this symbol as the hallmark of all knowledge. It was a sacred symbol that he would teach to only his highest initiates. And the reason it was sacred is because of the geometry it contained. It actually contains an equation for Earth's orientation in the heavens. And the fact is that it's only Earth's orientation in the heavens. It's not any other planet in our solar system. And what's strange about that is, to understand how the Earth is oriented in heaven, you have to be able to have a perspective from heaven. You can't actually get all this information intact unless it truly was brought down from the heavens.
Right, but there's a structure on Mars that we call the D&M pyramid. It has, without question, five sides. Does that kind of match, because I'm trying to tie this in, I'm trying to understand this, does this tie in what the quince fruit looks like when you cut it open?
Yes, it does. And the extraordinary thing about it is that if you actually would just do a small equation, the pentagram, which the D&M pyramid is actually representing, it's not a perfect pentagram. It's
pretty darn close, though, David.
Yeah,
as you know.
It's sort of anthropomorphic looking. It resembles really closely some of the pentagrams that we can find in ancient Egypt.
It also looks like a stick man when you look at it.
Yeah, and so it's conveying more than just one idea. It's conveying an incredible amount of information. But the idea that it's a pentagram is the point that I could look at with the geometry of it. It actually is explaining how Earth-oriented in heaven and in time and in space. And the reason that is because in a 360-degree system, if you take the 5 points and measure between each one of them, there's 72 degrees, and 5 times 72 is 360. If you take 360 times 72, you end up with what's called the Platonic year. It's a sacred year. It's actually one cycle of the precession of the equinoxes. And what's interesting is most people don't realize what the precession of the equinox is. To actually observe a precession of the equinox, you'd have to live longer than most humans live. Because what it is, every year when you start the beginning of the year, the sun will rise just a little bit farther along the ecliptic.
But it seems like it's all tied into mathematics here, David.
Well, it is, and it's higher learning. It's gnosis itself. It actually represents the whole body of knowledge that actually exists. And the Cydonia word actually connects with early Earth civilizations in some uncanny ways. And the strange thing about it is, in myth, the most warlike and thus most Mars-like men of antiquity, if you look at, let me say, maybe the Greek myth, were Sparti. And this actually falls right into the Cydonia name again.